This book, the new one, has some Detroit experiences from your youth. Is it because you're at the age where the memories of one's youth make for long, long thoughts, or maybe because rivers have memories?
I think it's rivers have memories, and so do I. Yes, so do I still. But Detroit, which I go back to every summer, at least briefly, is still really big in my psyche. It's a bigger-than-life place, as Chicago is, I'm sure, for you.
Yeah, it's the same. I know the feeling. It's like you still root for the sports teams. I mean, you like to see them.
I don't do that.
Well, but my point is that
theoretically.
These things that were ingrained in your youth continue to linger.
Exactly, and Detroit being so much in the news all the time is as a bad thing. I'm always standing up for Detroit.
Yeah. How did you end up in Seattle, and when did you come here?
I was in Ann Arbor with my then husband and six-year-old, and my husband and I wanted the mountains and the sea here, or anywhere on the West Coast. I rode up and down the West Coast for a teaching job, new high school teacher. And I got a job in Anacortes, Washington, almost by mail. So we moved from Ann Arbor to Anacortes and just fell in love with the incredible beauty of the land.
What year was that?
There. 68.
Wow.
Yeah, long time ago.
What a summer, too, it was.
Yeah.
Good time to be in Anacortes rather than any big American city.
Yeah, though I certainly miss the involvement of Ann Arbor at that time.
Yeah. How did you end up studying with Robert Duncan?
Oh, well, I'd finished undergraduate degree a long time ago, worked on raising children as a single mother for a while then. Children were a little older, and I was writing and publishing a lot of poetry. I knew I needed to study more, even though I was publishing a lot already, and my first book was Ghosts was in the works. But I knew I'd probably keep writing the same kind of poetry if I didn't do more of a formal study. So I looked for a graduate school, and at that point I really wanted to study with Diane DePrima. So I went to New College because Diane was there, and I got Robert Duncan. And others, David Meltzer and Michael Palmer, but Robert Duncan was the overwhelming experience of my young poetic life at that point. Yeah.
So one part of the follow-up is, what kind of poems were you writing before then? And then the second part is, how did Duncan change that?
I was writing... Have you read Ghosts, my first book?
If I have, it's been a while.
So it's been a while, and it's been out of print for a long time. I was writing a lot of late 70s, second wave of feminist women's movement poems influenced deeply by myth, reading and working with a lot of myth there. A lot of those poems still hold up, and I'm still proud of a lot of them. However, I needed to think deeper and wider. And studying with Robert, you could not keep from thinking wide, 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 and deep, 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 because he had a mind that went that way at the same time. And it took me a while to learn to even listen to his lectures, because it was just so rich and so full of everything. Yeah, I just learned tremendous amounts from him.
When I hear you talk about myth, I think, well, that's pretty deep to go into. So what kinds of things did Duncan expose you to that widened your perspective?
Oh, let's see. Oh, a lot of Dante, a lot of then contemporary thought in poetry.
As an example,
okay, it was the time of post-structuralism and language poetry, and though Robert didn't write at all or work with that material. He thought we as students really needed to at least experience it. So another poet, actually it was Matthews, William Matthews, once told me, go against the grain. And Robert did that for me. I had to go against the grain. I was working with myth. My mind just does work that way. But much deeper after encountering Robert. Mm-hmm.